Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, Francine and Lynn welcome Dr. Li-Ping Chen, professor of immunobiology and director of cancer immunology at Yale Cancer Center, for a conversation about the discovery of new cancer treatments. Here's Francine Foss.
Could you start off a little bit about your history and how you actually got interested in the field of immunobiology?
I was trained as the physician, hematologist. And that is, I get my medical career started. In early my career, especially clinical practice, I did found the majority of the cancer patient back to 80s. There's a very minimal option for treatment. In that time, it was pretty much just chemotherapies. Especially like as a hematologist, we are dealing with the leukemia and lymphoma literally every day, and does not really have any. Perfect treatment in 80s. So that is the one that basically is a situation make me kind of turn to the more research, more looking for the new treatment rather than just keep doing practice of the medicine.
Can you tell us how long you've been at the Yale Cancer Center and where you were before you came here?
I joined Yale Cancer Center and the Yale School of Medicine in January this year, so it's less than 1 year. And before, I came from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Johns Hopkins Hospital. I worked there for about 7 years.
Yeah. And how did you... You suggested a little bit about your interest in perhaps doing something else other than hematology with some of the frustrations in the 80s. What specifically turned you toward immunology?
The immunology in then and now is one of the field which is most close to the clinic. It is a basic science. However, it lots of issues the immune system, immunology dealing with is highly related to how we understand the immune system and how we use the immune system as a weapon to prevent or to treat the diseases. So this is one of the, in 80s is one of the closest field, I would say, to the medicine. And now still is one of the area which is very, very close to the medicine.
Can you talk about the connection between immunobiology or immunology and cancer?
Immune system is the is obviously is very important, and it's always there and to either prevent or to control the diseases. Cancer immunology is the, in that aspect, there's no difference of cancer immunology or compared with the other particular field immunology, such as microbial immunology or autoimmunity immunology. However, there is some uniqueness to the cancer immunology because immune system. In fact, now we understand immune system is quite complicated, and it can be manipulated by cancer in the beginning. So we have to understand from right beginning to see how immune system being altered, and then later how we can use that information and then to be useful to control the cancer growth. Or to even in the end, in the late stage of patient, which the immune system was largely paralyzed, and how you to put them back, restore them, and to make them useful weapon against cancer.
Just so our listeners understand, can you talk for a minute about just the basic immune system, basic immunology, what that is for a patient, you know, fighting infections or foreign antigens? What's the basic role of the immune system in humans?
Okay. For the immune system in most cases, immune system operate in a fairly low level, because as the human being, every day you exposed to different exposed to environment, so you have exposed to different germs, different foreign materials. All these things could hurt the body. So immune system is always there. In normal, most of the cases, they control the common cold or some bacteria in the guts. Those are usually just low-level immune system is sufficient to do that. However, sometimes disease persists or get out of control. Or there's a more severe status, such as they say you have infection, which is the more dangerous bacteria or the dangerous virus. The immune system have to play a large role. In cancer, immune system is play a very critical role, because cancer developed usually very slowly. And however, it is persistent. And if you don't control them, the tumor keep growing, and then would be out of control in certain period of time. So we understand the immune system also altered by cancer, okay? Because cancer, they try to escape from immune destruction. They develop lots of different mechanisms. So then to understand this mechanism and understand how immune system get altered and become a very critical issue in the field. So in general, you a human being does not have to have immune system to live. For example, we have the mice, which is completely depleted of immune system. They still can live, but they can only live in the sterile environment. Okay, but human being is different. You have to expose the environment. You have to deal with the environment. So that's why immune system they're always there, protect us.
So the basic concept with cancer is that when a cancer cell becomes malignant, becomes a cancer cell, that cancer cell potentially could be recognized by our immune system the same way, say, a bacteria is?
Yes. Answer is absolutely yes, because in particular these 20 years, we found this every normal cell, when they transform to become a cancer cell, they make a protein in quantitatively or qualitatively, meaning they are quite different from the normal cell. So those could be recognized by immune system.
So the immune system really is your first line of defense against cancer.
Yes.
And you talked a little bit about how the cancer cells are smarter than the immune system, and they find ways to evade the immune system. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah, cancer cell they always try to escape from immune attack, because probably the only thing to, particularly in the early stage, the only thing is prevent tumor to propagate, to proliferate, is immune system. So immune system, as we just mentioned, immune system is first line of defense. In order to survive, then cancer cell change a lot of things to combat with immune system. For example, immune system will recognize specific protein which display by cancer cell as foreign, okay? Because this cancer center, when each cancer cell start to proliferate, to grow, they require specific nutritions, or they develop some particular pathway to make them grow much faster than normal cells. Those different could be detected by immune system. So immune system started to detect those proteins and try to pick those cells up and try to kill them. Now, cancer cell, in order to survive, they also developed a different strategy. Try to either get rid of immune cells completely or make them paralyzed, and use variety of different strategies, including like hiding this particular protein or mutate this protein. Then by this way, they can escape from the particular lymphocyte immune system attack. So this is what happened now is the we found lots of defect on immune system when patient develop a large tumor. Okay, so they already successfully escaped from the immune attack.
Is there any way to detect this earlier on? Are there any ways or strategies that we can use to detect these malignant cells, say before a patient has a big tumor?
This has been a very challenging field for early detection of cancers. some cancer, we can do that now. Some specific modification of the genes, genetic alteration or a particular protein or a particular so-called signature protein, we could detect. But it's a very small fraction of those proteins or a small fraction of the cancer we can do that now.
Obviously, this is very, very complicated science, but if we took a lung cancer tumor from another human, for example, and injected that into an immune-competent human, would that tumor grow in the next person's lung, or is it likely that that person's immune system would immediately recognize those cells as foreign and prevent the growth of that cancer?
Obviously, those experiments could not be done, but the answer is probably not. The reason is the cancer cell, just like normal cells, they also have a group of molecules called MHC, called major histocompatibility antigen, which is the protein which distinguish the individuals. Okay, so everybody have the different set of this MHC molecule. That's the molecule which could make this transplantation feel very, very miserable because they always try to overcome the MHC restriction, and because this can be immediately recognized by immune system and reject those.
So cells. In the first patient, perhaps there's a mutation or a defect or something has happened in that person's immune system to allow this cancer to grow. Maybe the cancer, as you suggested, has fooled or tricked the immune system or mutated its protein or hidden the protein. But in a different host, its immune system may be different and strong enough to recognize this as a foreign target and eliminate it immediately.
Yes, yes, exactly. This is what... this is right now what happened in the cancer treatment field is when we develop one of the new therapies, usually the therapy is we cannot guarantee they work in 100% of patients because there's all individual differences, genetic makeup, different environment, different modification of immune system that make immune therapy challenge, same as the other therapies.
Talk us through the process of translating discoveries in the laboratory into the clinic. How does one go about doing that?
Translational medicine is the field which is only being recognized this recent decade. There's a lot of basic science going on, which is already a long time, to understand the body, to understand the immune system. There's also lots of clinical medicine which continue to use traditional methods such as surgery or chemotherapies or radiotherapies to treat the cancer. So the clinical medicine and basic research often disconnected. Translational medicine, which is the purpose is to see we can utilize those basic information and design the new treatment.
So why don't we revisit some more of those details in the second part of our show. Right now we're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about the discovery of cancer treatments with Dr. Li-Ping Chen.
The American Cancer Society estimates that the lifetime risk of developing colorectal cancer is about 1 in 20, and that risk is slightly lower in women than in men. Early detection is the key. When detected early, colorectal cancer is easily treated and highly curable. Men and women over the age of 50 should have regular colonoscopies to screen for this disease. Each day, more patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. New treatment options and surgical techniques are giving colorectal cancer survivors more hope than they ever had before. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for colorectal cancer. New options include a Chinese herbal medicine being used in combination with chemotherapy to reduce side effects of treatment and help cancer drugs work more effectively. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Lynn Wilson, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Francine Foss. Today we're joined by Dr. Liping Chen, and we're discussing new cancer treatments and immunobiology. So Dr. Chen, in the first half of the show, we wrapped that up. You were starting to get into some of the details of translating discoveries at the basic research or in the laboratory and getting those discoveries actually into the clinic. Talk to us a little bit more about how that's achieved, and it's actually a very complicated process. Please tell us about that.
Translational research is the is one of the field which is I consider is very critical for every cancer center. It's the larger basic discovery being made in the laboratories, such as in the Yale, the university in our department, immunobiology, which is one of the top programs in the world. Now, lots of information being collected. We understand how immune system function, how they worked. We understand lots of different mechanisms, how to manipulate and control immune system. Now, the most basic scientists, they stop in that stage. They do not move forward to understand what happened in the cancer. Okay, they will stop and say, okay, now we understand how normal the immune system worked. Okay. However, translational scientists will bring that step forward and to examine those individual mechanism or a particular pathway or a particular molecule in a setting of cancer or in other diseases. Give you an example. This example is the, say, in the lung cancer. Tumor is growing, and then finally they metastasize to the other organ. Now, before the tumor can metastasize, they already develop a series of mechanisms which can escape from the immune control. So the immune system to control primary tumor is already failed in that time. However, the new cancer cell moved to other part of body. They started to evade the immune system, but immune system in that location might not fail yet. Okay. So to understand all these different location and different mechanism, it's very critical for differential treatment. Okay? You might not be able to treat one location, but you might be able to treat another one, okay, for example. So to understand the entire system and also understand the localization issues, which become very important. But however, the basic scientists usually will not consider that. They will just understand in general how immune system operate, then they will stop. Clinical scientists would be, usually they will just take the so-called standard treatment. They will continue to do that standard treatment. So to get this translational going is first we have to understand the normal immune system. Number two is you have to pick the mechanism and carefully examine what happened in the cancer, and to identify the particular defect in the cancer or alteration in the cancer setting. And then you design an approach either to promoting that deficiency or to particularly remove some negative environment, some harmful the situation. And then to as the way to design the therapy. So that is distinguish the the differences of basic scientists and clinical scientists. Yeah.
So Li-Ping, one of the problems that we have in the clinic is that we we treat patients with drugs, and now we're using these monoclonal antibodies and these drugs that potentially could affect some of these immune cells as well. And we study the effects of those drugs on the tumor that we're treating, or the leukemia that we're treating, but do we really understand the results of a lot of these treatments on some of these immune mechanisms that you're talking about?
Yes, this is a very interesting question. A lot of time when you design therapeutics or you design a particular drug, you might not understand the entire picture. You might not understand how this molecule, this particular drug, will do in the human. You might know a particular part because we all come from, all the information came from, say, particular experimental model, or some animal study, or some in vitro model. So the knowledge we learn from those are obviously limited. But we use that to tell us, to predict how it's going to work in human. Sometimes it's impossible. However, in most cases, it will predict some part of the things going to happen in the human. Probably not all of them. So that's why there's so many those phase three trials failed, because right now statistics showing phase three, even the drug goes through all the preclinical and phase 1, 2, 3, still more than 90% drug failed, is because there's lots of unexpected results in the clinic could be found.
Should we be doing more studies in patients to look at the effects of these drugs on the immune system?
The answer is yes, because now we understand lots of models or the particular either in vitro or in vivo, or the experimental system is incomplete or not perfect. So we need to do more human study to answer those questions.
Can you tell us, Dr. Chen, a little bit about the cancer immunobiology program at Yale? What are some of the highlights and who's involved?
The cancer immunology program, in general, can be divided to the three component. One is, as I mentioned previously, is more basic science, basic immunology. We have the Dr. Richard Favell, Dr. David Schatz, the Rosalind Mertzdorf, for example. They study very basic aspect of immunology to understand how immune system. What kind of cells, which particular molecules involve in particular defense mechanism. For example, the Rosalind Mertzdorf many years ago discovered a particular molecule called TOR4, which is the is very important for recognition of bacteria. And this molecule, after recognized bacteria, they will trigger a series of biochemistry signals and turn on host immune system. This is a part of what called innate immune system. They are a very first line of defense. Then they can immediately control those bacterial infection. The second part of the immune biology is the more on the clinical side, such as the Dr. Mario Snow, who will use the various reagents or the cells and give the therapy to the patient, the cancer patients. And this is all based on immune mechanism in immunology discoveries. And the third type of patient is like me and like Warren Stromchak. We are doing lots of translation research. Even my own program, I'm consider myself as a very basic immunologist because my main interest is discover all the immune cell communication molecules, each protein being used to communicate between the cells. But I I do a lot of translational research, which is to understand, after understand this individual communication, then we always bring them to cancer situation to see if cancer have a problem. Then we can translate them. So in general, it's a three component, and this is all integrated. There's a lot of collaboration and integration of knowledge, so it's a very great environment.
Li Ping, you had done some work that led to an immunotherapy that holds great promise for cancer, and that's the PD-1, the anti-PD-1 drugs. Can you elaborate a little bit about that? Tell us what it is.
This go back to long history and for discoveries. We discover one of the molecules called B7H1, which now known as the ligand for PD-1. This molecule is the overexpressed by cancer cell. As I mentioned previously, this cancer is use a lot of this mechanism, use a lot of normal mechanism, but twist them or alter them, and to escape from immune response. This is one of the molecules. For that purpose, cancer overexpresses this molecule because this molecule, they after binding to PD-1, this which is another protein, serve as receptor for B7H1. PD-1 is on T cells. When T cells are alert to come to attack the cancer, then the first thing they are going to see is this B7H1 on the cancer cell. Then B7H1 will give a signal to PD-1, ask lymphocyte to shut down. Okay. So this mechanism, when we found about 10 years ago, first we found is in the more basic side, in the petri dishes. Okay, we found the lymphocyte, once they contact this molecule, they will be basically paralyzed. Okay. So we then, I think the critical step was taken in about 10 years ago. We then immediately moved this to cancer setting and found the human cancers, these molecules are overexpressed, and they also doing same thing. They can shut down the lymphocyte. So this is what we get started. We then designed the antibody, which is specifically block this interaction, either anti-PD-1 or anti-this B7H1, which is a ligand of the PD-1, to block this communication or miscommunication, to rescue the lymphocyte, in the around the cancer. So the advantage of this type of therapy is because molecules are specifically overexpressed in the cancer, so the antibody, even when you give the antibody, it's systemically, it's go over all the body, but the effect side is pretty much on the cancer, so that avoid the major toxicities. So this is why we see in clinic right now, the toxicity is very, very low.
Dr. Li Ping Chen is professor of immunobiology and director of cancer immunology at Yale Cancer Center. If you have questions or would like to add your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also get the podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.